This is one of those years where the Passover overlaps Holy Week. And it doesn't always coincide because of our calendar versus the Jewish calendar, but this is one of those years. And it's a good reminder to us that the Lord's Supper really was a Passover meal. And so there, every time we come up here to receive from the Lord, it's like a mini Passover. Though it's not as fun and not as wild and not as as joyful, we tend to make it a lot more somber. But I think it also means that in order to understand the Lord's Supper, it's a good idea for us to understand the original Passover. And we all know that central to both the Passover and the Lord's Supper is not gefilte fish or Easter eggs, but blood. Blood is central to both. And so I have a story I'd like to share from my church planting days in Quebec that involves blood. Now, we lived in a very rural part of Quebec, because it's Quebec, Canada, so French-speaking Canada. And it's at sort of the northern quarter of the Appalachian Mountains. Here we are at the base of the mountains. We had a mountain in our backyard. It's gorgeous. It was summers and spring, summer, fall, not too hot, not too cold. But come wintertime, now that was another story. That's kind of like summertime down here. You escape to the mountains, we escape south because it just gets too cold. You might have weeks here in the, I'm still learning Fahrenheit, but in the hundreds, right? Hundreds plus? Do you go into in the 110s, 120s ever? No, not quite. But hundreds and humid and terrible, right? Yeah. We might reach 100 every once in a while in Canada, but it's not for long. But we will have weeks of minus 40. And that's where Fahrenheit and Celsius meet. Okay, and it's terrible. Now, we were living in Israel for about 3 years, and we came back to visit. It takes 3 years for your blood to get used to the climate, either way you go. So we were used to the Israeli climate at this point, and we came to visit our family at Christmas time. The doors opened at the airport, and we thought we were going to die. It was so cold, death cold. Anyhow, you have to prepare for the cold, because if you don't, you are going to die. And I'm not from Quebec, and I'm not a Frenchman, and though my last name is French originally, we didn't ever prepare rightly for the winter. Come early spring, the French guys would be outside chopping down trees and chopping those trees into little sections and then into firewood and stacking them so they'd have time to dry and be ready for the next season. They did it in the early spring because the ground was still hard as rock. Still frozen. It was easier to work in that. Doesn't matter how often I tried, I would end up in the fall running around our backfield trying to figure out this wood thing. And it's never a good idea to run around rushing with wood chopping tools. And I have a shorter finger to prove it. I chopped off the end of my finger with a wood hydraulic wood splitter. Just felt like a pinch at the time, and then afterwards it was pain like you've never experienced. It was a terrible thing. So much pain, so much blood, and it's only like we're talking like a quarter of an inch off the end of my finger. And in the moment, even though I was the injured party, I became the first aid guy. And I remembered the golden rule when it came to blood. RED, an acronym RED. Rest, elevate, and direct pressure. So there I was, in the fog of having something traumatic that just happened to me, looking for a piece of finger in the glove, and holding my hand with direct pressure, resting and elevating it above my heart. Rest, elevate, direct pressure. Anyway, this Holy Week, today on Maundy Thursday, where we remember the Last Supper, and where Jesus, as he was remembering the Last, as he was in the Last Supper, was remembering the original Passover, where blood is very important, I want us to go home tonight with another take on that acronym RED. Rest in the grace. Elevate your eyes and direct your praise to Jesus. RED, rest, elevate, direct. Okay? RED. Now, the Jews believe that as they remember the Passover, that they are actually participating in the original Passover, that time itself collapses as if they time travel back. And Jesus was on to this as well. That's why he used the word anamnesis when he says, do this for the remembrance of me. It's a Greek word that says, best defined as a living remembrance, not regular remembering a past event, but you're participating in the event through your remembrance. And so today on Monday, Thursday, as we really enter that story, and as Jesus entered that original Passover, that Old Testament account of that great and terrible blood-filled night is an important one for us to understand. And from it, we're going to learn this RED stuff, this rest in the grace, to elevate our eyes towards Jesus and to direct our praise towards him with thankful hearts. Now, the context of the original Passover, we remember that God made a promise with Abraham, who had a son named Isaac, who had a son named Jacob. So Jacob, being Abraham's grandson, moved to Egypt because of a famine. His youngest son, Joseph, who was sold out by his brothers, was there with great favor after spending some time as a slave and then in jail. And because of this great favor, he was able to give his son his dad a great place to settle, his dad and his brothers. And they thrived. For 200 years, they thrived. They became a people. They became a nation. So much so that Pharaoh said, this is enough. We've got to control this thriving community. And so he enslaved them. And so for the next 200 years, they were enslaved. Until finally, the Lord heard their cry, delivered them out of slavery and bondage in Egypt, and brought them into a relationship with himself. He didn't deliver them just for deliverance sake. He delivered them to bring them into relationship. And he eventually led them to the promised land, the promise he made originally with Abraham. It took 10 plagues for Pharaoh to finally let God's people go. 10 plagues. And the 10th one was the worst one. And we read it. The 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And it goes on and on and on. Now, even though the picture painted here in our Old Testament lesson is similar, because you get this picture of this family kind of holed up in their basement trying to avoid tornadoes. As they have blood on their doorposts and their lintels, and they're supposed to be all dressed up and ready to run at a moment's notice, and they're waiting for the redemption of the Lord. But there still is an element of rest in that. Even though it seems anxious, an anxious picture, there's still rest in that. What do they do to bring on their redemption? What's required of them? To simply cover their doorposts and their lintel with blood and wait for God to pass over. That's it. And here's the point. When it comes to walking with Jesus, all that's required of us is to ask Jesus to cover us in his own blood, the blood that he's going to spill tomorrow, as we remember, so that our homes and our hearts will be passed over too. Freed from slavery of sin and death. That's it. Nothing else. Simply rest in the grace of Jesus. RED. Rest in the grace of Jesus. Elevate your eyes towards Jesus. And verse 11, it says this, and thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, as soon as the Passover was finished, the Israelites, about 3 million of them, they say about 800,000 men, but they say, then it goes on to say not including the children, and also likely not including the women. If there's about an average of 5 kids per family, it could be well over 3 million people. It's a huge amount of people. So as soon as this Passover has happened, they had to be ready to step out of that life of slavery and death and into a relationship with the living God, where faith would be their only roadmap. As we read in our psalm, also appointed for this evening, that journey of faith involved looking past all the chaos and the despair that surrounded them throughout the journey, and especially on that night, and looking up to God, their Savior, their Deliverer, for safe passage, for provision, and for peace. All the firstborns were dying around them, and they had to look up in hope and in fear to God who would pass over their houses. Pharaoh and his army were chasing them to the Red Sea, to the shores. And they had to look up as Moses raised his staff and God opened the waters and they passed through on dry land. They were led by what a pillar cloud by day and fire by night, looking up to follow God's leading. And even the food, the provision, fell down from the sky like dew. Here's the point. Once you're on this journey of resting in the grace of Jesus, to make it through the chaos of life, to make it through the despair, to make it through the attacks that are certainly going to come, and the arid terrain that is all around, you're going to have to elevate your eyes towards Jesus. Following Jesus doesn't require a whole lot of sense and a little bit of faith. It requires faith. And we as a church need to embrace that. It doesn't require a whole lot of sense, a whole lot of well laid out plans. It requires faith. It doesn't matter what position you're in, what you do in your life. You, as a follower of Jesus, need to live by faith and not by sight. Doesn't matter what we're walking through. Our call is to elevate or fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Rest in the grace of Jesus. Elevate our eyes towards him, and with thankful hearts, now that we've been delivered, that we've been set free, to direct our praise to him. Our reading, our Old Testament reading, ends with a prophetic statement that God is going to make good on his promise of deliverance. Otherwise, he would never have declared that first Passover as the first of many feasts that they were going to keep forever. That was a promise, saying, this is something you're going to keep forever because I'm going to take you through this deliverance. I'm going to deliver you. We read it, so this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. God makes good on his promises to us. He really does. And we know this because today, in our time, there is a physical Israel. And in that place, this week, they sat around tables remembering the original Passover. That's a testimony to that one verse. Keeping this as an everlasting ordinance. Remembering a great victory. I've been to two authentically Jewish Passovers. I've done a lot of Messianic Jewish Passovers. I've done my own Passovers where our bitter herb was a pickle. that's all we had. But I've been to two authentically Jewish Passovers. They were with our neighbors in Jerusalem who we knew because my grandma, who went to Jerusalem before us on a tour, happened to be sitting beside the woman on the plane. And she said, "Oh, you have to meet my daughter." This woman was moving to Israel from Canada. And they became like our uncle, my uncle Annette and my mom's older sister. And wonderful people. And a year ago this week, we were at their house. They invited us for our second Passover. And it's an amazing event if you ever get to go to one. And it's certainly full of joy. Kids are squealing and playing games. They're singing songs. They're drinking lots of wine. It's a wonderful event. "Look at what the Lord has done," is the sentiment that comes from that. And I think this RED acronym that we've been talking about is really the posture of a follower of Jesus. One who has rested in the grace of Jesus. One who has elevated their eyes towards him and who is filled with a thankful heart, grateful for God's deliverance, and so directs his praise to Jesus. So let's take that home with us this week and tonight. RED. Rest in Jesus, rest in his grace, to elevate our eyes towards him and to direct our praise to him. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. We ask, God, that you would help us just really absorb your salvation and your deliverance today. And as we journey through Good Friday through Easter Sunday, Lord, I pray, God, that we would have a special insight and just a special anointing from you, Lord, as we receive from you this weekend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.